What up, internet? Hey, it's Greg Payne and Brian Quimby. We are here each week to give you Street Fight. And if you like what we do, give us a like, give us an RT, let us know. But for real, thank you for listening. We are here giving you the custom Grow 420 intro that you asked for, internet user, Twitter user, Justin, JV5T1N. Fell in love with Custom Grow 420's opening on YouTube and suggested I learn a thing or two. So I need your feedback. That was my best shot.
Man, that guy, he's something. He's the guy that taught me how to roll a joint, if you'll remember. If you go back in Street Fight lore, he's actually the guy that taught me to roll a joint.
Yes, and he's come back into our world because you found this amazing video called the 1 gram dab challenge.
Russell Butt Diamond on Twitter actually found it, and then he posted one singular picture from it, and I said, I gotta see this thing.
Yeah, and it starts out with that type of Carnival Barker-esque excitement, and then slowly falls apart, all while his main man to the side kind of just nods his head and says, yeah.
It's like a fucking, like, Twilight Zone, but commissioned by Nancy Reagan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is a good anti-drug commercial, really. This guy, it's like a Jackass thing where someone kicks themselves in the nuts.
Right, you could show, they could actually, it would be more effective to show that to people than any of those DARE programs or Just Say No's, you know? Just show somebody that video and they'll be like, I don't think I want to try.
Yeah, I'm going to hang out.
They're not going to want to do dabs.
They're going to chill on the dabs. Or at least when their buddy's like, let's see what happens when we throw the whole thing. No. We don't want to have people dripping slime out of their nose and coughing and choking. And at one point, the guy who starts off his video, yeah, he says, my body is crying. He says, my body is crying. But the dude next to him, once again, the best part about it is this guy's losing it. And then his buddy next to him just keeps, he's like, so main dude, Yeller, Custom Grow 420, says, my lungs don't work. And then the guy goes, shoot, one of mine does. And then he just goes, he just keeps whistling like, wow, that was hell. But this looks like a bad idea. I think this is like, show these to these California kids. Like, don't fuck around with dabs like this.
Like, I've been high. Like, I've been very high in my life. Okay. And like, when that guy on the right, the guy that's just whistling, that seems like he's got it all together. Like, he works with my system now at this age. And then the guy with the hat, Custom Grow 420, the screamer, he's me when I was, like, in my 20s. He, like, works on that level, so I can explain it. Now, the Custom Grow 420 guy, the main guy, he's having a meltdown.
Yeah, I mean, inside he thinks he's about to die, maybe.
Yeah, he's having a total, complete meltdown, and it's going to last a couple of hours, and he's going to come out on the other end, and he's going to feel good. He'll feel better from it. He'll be like, oh, man, you know, that got dicey a few times.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to make it.
Yeah, but the other guy, he's what I do now. He just shut his brain and his body off. He was like, look, I can't deal with how high I am.
Yeah, stop panicking. You got to stop panicking. It's when you're just like, whoa, I'm really high. Wow, I'm getting higher. I'm just soaring here. You know, like you can't panic about it. You don't have to worry about what happens if you're going to crash into the ground. Yeah, his face, his eyes are kind of fluttering like, you know, just, you know, everything's being blown away. Every second, like, is just he's being thrown higher into the stratosphere.
Well, that's the only real thing he says. That's one of the things I love about this video, too. And any dabs video, really, is like when you're doing 1 gram of dabs, whatever happens after the dab is going to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty popular. They've done those grandma smoking weed videos. I've seen a lot of those recently, and grandpops smoking weed videos.
Send me any video. Any video of somebody passing out smoking weed is like my favorite video.
Okay, then we're putting a lookout. So there, that's your custom Grow 420 shout out for the week.
Video. News update. A great video. It's a great video. Enjoy it. Just look up 1 gram dab challenge. It's the top video. And yeah, like this guy yeah, just,
he gets
poor
it.
Dude, man, his body cries. Okay.
It happens. I mean, sometimes you get too deep in it, but he was a trooper. So, and he has still the best job ever. I wish we could do that. I would go out there and make myself miserable on dabs.
Oh yeah.
For
I'd
free.
Be the guy that smokes. I'll be the guy that smokes too much weed in a video. That is.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to be embarrassed or ashamed.
Yeah. I know. I'm not going to leave town with my head hanging low. I'm going to look you right in the face and say, like, don't you wish you would have figured out a way to smoke weed for a living?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm envious. We'll work on that. We got to add it to the brand at some point. Maybe in the future. We have exciting news that's going to happen at the end of 2016, I think we'll be able to kick things into gear. Maybe we'll start doing more heroic hits of drugs on air to see, so we can put our spin on it.
1 gram dab challenge, though, is probably not going to happen.
No, I don't think. Well, maybe. I would definitely do it. I don't have the money, though. That's like $100 down the window.
If Brett does it, I'll do it. That's how it's going to work here.
Peer pressure.
I don't plan to do it. But like, you don't want to see me. I panic too. Like I'm probably go lay in my bed. Really. Every time I've ever been high off of Keef, every time I get high off that shit, I just fucking go hide somewhere and turn all the lights off and take my shirt off.
Yeah, that's not a good video. This is a much better video than what you just described. So yeah,
I know.
Now that I'm looking at that as a program director, maybe I bring someone else in for the 1 gram dab video, or just go solo on that mission. But we'll plan for that in the future.
Yeah,
I did want to mention.
If you're getting dabs, though, I want to do some of them at least.
Just a little fucking pinky nails worth is fine with me. I just want like the head of a pin. I'll smoke that.
Yeah.
But the last show you got was actually some extra content. It was kind of makeup content because I couldn't do a show a couple weeks ago and I had to get I had to make up. But it was also an idea that I've had for shows or something I'm interested in doing. And, you know, it's not always going to be just me. If, you know, Brian and I can come up with somebody we want to interview, that's fine. But I'm really going to be spearheading it. And because on Patreon.com, the people have spoken, StreetFightRadio.com, Patreon.com/StreetFightRadio, and that's Patreon spelled Patreon. I said at the $50 level a month, as long as we're getting $50 a month in donations, I'll give y'all one interview a month, and I want to make it like that. I want to be slice of life. I want to get real stories out there. I want to, like, humanize everybody to everybody else. And, you know, I fucking hate celebrity stuff and I'm not intrigued by it. And I think there's a lot of relatively unknown folks out there that are way more interesting, that I have a lot more fun and, you know, are cooler than pretty much what else is being put out. So I want to exploit, I guess, my knack for that and try to bring some of that to Street Fight Radio.
I like it too. I have a hard time on interviews. So Brett doing them is really great to me. And, you know, I'm hearing from our program director that the $100 goal is even a little bit more interesting.
Yes. Well, yes, that's true. Do you want to get into it now, or can we talk about Columbus a little bit?
Yeah. No, we'll talk about Columbus. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Stay tuned.
Why would I do something? I feel like a failure right now.
It's no problem at all. We'll steer it in the right direction here, because we were talking about earlier about you were listening to people talk about Columbus and how you are kind of a poo-pooer. You're kind of a shit on everything type of guy naturally. And it kind of reinvigorated your love for the city to hear us big city folk with our exorbitant rents wishing we were back in Columbus, Ohio.
That's true. Yeah, the rent thing, every time somebody talks about living in a non-Columbus place and they start talking about how much rent, parking is a big fucking deal to me.
Yeah,
too.
You always get scared about that. It's always like, it's on your mind all the time. Like, do they need cash? $14 cash to park?
Yeah, fucking $40 is... I went to Chicago, I had to pay fucking $40 to park my car, and I was just like, man, this big city life is not for me. I might as well get... I need to go back to my mid-level city ways.
Yeah, this is strain on the old pocketbook here. Well, for me, what it is also is, I mean... all the stuff that you can do in Columbus, I can go in D.C. I have access to, you know, one of those market, Union Market, and it's a think tank and a brainstorming and a kitchen and a small studio where these, like, amazing national brands spring out from. It's from magazines and shit. Like, I can go do that, and then I can go to a barcade, and I can go get, you know, coffee and beer that was made here. But there's not enough time in a day to get it all in. And, like, traveling in between, it's like, you know, it's going to take me 45 minutes and $4 on a train to get to the first stop, then $13 on a Lyft to get to the next place. But in Columbus, everything is about 10 to 15 minutes away from each other. There's traffic 2 times a day. And as long as you're not going out to the suburbs, it's not going to bother you. And it just blows me away because I'm like, I'm moving to D.C. just like City Guys. That was my favorite show when I was a kid. As soon as I saw City People, I was like, that's exactly where I want to be. You know, a lot of Columbus people come up dreaming of getting out of there. But then you show up and it's all a fucking big city mess with a big city price tag. And you have enough humble, cool people back in Columbus doing the same shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I've been I went to D.C. and Philly over last summer, and just like, I mean, I have fun there. There's still a weird thing here. Like, there's a sense that there is space that I don't feel like you get anywhere in any of the bigger cities I've been to. I feel like there's like no space for anything.
Well,
and
yeah,
here I still feel like,
sorry,
I feel like I can stretch out. That's all I'm saying. Like,
I agree. Once you get the big buildings, like in Dallas, when I lived in Dallas, it felt like there was a roof over your head sometimes. In New York City, there's like a roof over your head. You know, you can't see the sky in some places. And that goes for miles. It's a whole island of that, you know, like in New York or in D.C. It goes over rivers. You know, it bleeds all the way. It bleeds an hour and a half away into Virginia, you know, like D.C. does. So it's this gigantic, just too many people like just all trying to cram themselves and compete in this one small space. Columbus has the room. It doesn't, you know, and people do have their own lives, but they still have all of the cool shit that everybody else has in the city.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just changing now. Like, Anthropology is now in a place where there used to be a lot of independent stores. And, like, I'm thinking about moving back. That's the big, big news. That's going to change a lot. But, you know, we might end up coming back very, very pretty much 75% there in coming back. And it's just not the same city, but it's also stupid of me to think that anything stays the same, you know, because it wasn't the same city in 1990, you know, that it was in 2000 when I loved it, you know, when I was first discovering it, and it was a small time place. It felt, at least it felt like there wasn't any chains. Like, it was just like, you know, it's cheap enough to have rent where people are like, fuck it, I'll open a record store if no one else is going to do it. I have the time. You know, Rivet was one of the first people to have all that urban vinyl and all those pop surrealist artists in the city. There was artists and galleries and releases that you could only get in New York, LA, and Columbus, Ohio, you know, the way that she rigged it and like her passion for it. So, I mean, there's a lot of really dedicated people there that are just like into the scene of making shit cool. They're just not going to sit around and be bored. You know, there's the entrepreneur level is like, is on fleek.
There are a lot of great entrepreneurs here.
In a way, I mean, people like there's a grumpy old cheese man, but at the North Market, and he does have the best. He gets you the best cheese for the fair deal, and you know, he takes care of that, and you know, it's in his hands. You know, there's lots of small-time people that, like, just do a simple job. It's easier to get by doing some of that stuff. Because rent is so expensive out here, the only way only people that can afford to do business in Northern Virginia now is, like, Best Buys. I mean, they're putting one of those up everywhere.
Yeah, rich people. Rich people get to enjoy that kind of, like, opening a bit. Yeah, you're right. You know, I like it. I'm happy. I'm happier now. I just like to hear people talk about, I guess I have to be able to get out of where I am. And I am. I do shit on everything. Like, I get bored with everything. That's me. I don't know. I wish I knew why it happens. I wish I knew why I was why I have to make things. Why I have to, like, take such a wild turn on things.
Eventually you get disappointed. Eventually you disappointed or turn on everything.
For sure. Yeah.
But, like, I've moved around a lot, and this is going to come into effect when we're talking about our next segment here. But I've moved around a lot, and there's people that I've lived here my entire life, and your enthusiasm about this place has really kind of put a new perspective on it, you know, because that, you know, like, it does suck to be it's the same old thing that you've known for 25 years. It's been the same place. You know, it's not like you're just finding, you know, like, I get to go explore new places all the time. I get to go figure. There's places that I was dragged to my whole life. There are absolutely gorgeous and wonderful destinations as a kid that someone that was visiting that went and, you know, took part in it would, you know, love it. But I was, you know, reluctantly went, like, that's just stupid old Wyandotte Lake. Or the Columbus Zoo is like a whatever, jack-off hand motion.
Oh, God. But the Columbus Zoo did, the Wyandotte Lake thing and Columbus Zoo thing was like, that's the worst thing anybody's ever thought of, to have a zoo and a water park, but separate them. You know, make them two separate businesses, because everybody at the zoo did not want to be at the zoo.
Well, yeah, they manage it better now. I mean, they did. The merger made sense.
Yeah.
I think that served the community better, too. I think that served the community better.
Yeah. You think having a zoo and a water park together serves the community? We're anti-zoo. We're staunchly anti-zoo on this show, though. You know, aren't we?
Fuck the zoo, man. It's an awful place. I mean, but it's also, I mean, I don't know how to get rid of them. I'd love to bash all the windows out and let the animals free.
That's the thing. That doesn't help either, Brett. That there shouldn't be elephants in Columbus, Ohio. That's just, we don't get to see those up close. Sorry, fucking go to Africa and look at an elephant, you know? But, like, there just shouldn't even, the fact that they're here is the issue. We can't
people
just
love
let
them, man.
Free.
There's no, I mean, that is such an uphill battle. People love the shit out of them. I've been sucked into them. I've had to turn a lot of my internal rage off about them just because having a kid, like, you just end up there.
That fucking zoo, the circus turned me into this, you know? When I was going to Columbus State, I had to walk. I would walk to Columbus State, and I would cut through the Nationwide Arena parking lot, right? Because it was just a little quicker to get me there. It's 8 in the morning. And Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus was in town. And they had all the animals and shit in the parking lot. It's like 100 degrees. Or it's like this really hot summer. And I walk by a tiger that is sitting in a cage that's on asphalt in a 98 degree and humid day in Columbus, Ohio. And it just looked fucking miserable. It looked absolutely miserable. And I'm like, he shouldn't even have to be here.
Sad state of affairs, man.
Shouldn't even be here.
Yeah. I hate to see a cage around nature. Aquariums fuck me up real bad. Whenever I look at aquariums, I'm like, these guys had the whole fucking ocean. Like, I remember my dude used to have a saltwater tank, and I would just try to talk him out of it every time I did drugs over there. He was my arch nemesis, though. Like, I was always trying to yell at him. But I would look at these fish, and I was like, you know, you would look them up on Wikipedia, and I would look up, you know, these clownfish and pufferfish and triggerfish and all these wild-ass fish. And I would watch them on these documentaries and look at their lives, and I'm like, you have one trapped in a fucking aquarium, dude. That's so fucked up. That's so disrespectful to nature. Like, that's so disrespectful to the earth. Like, only arrogant ass human beings do shit like that.
And like, think like, if you give the fish just the even the if you give the fish any kind of brain, I guess it's like you're like, I gave him a mountain, and I'm like, the motherfuckers. That's only entertaining for like the first 10, maybe the first 10 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's tough. I understand. You know, I always feel bad bashing people's pets and stuff, but I definitely don't. I'm like, it just, I can't look at it.
Yeah.
I do look at it. I've been to the zoo. Like I said, I've been to the zoo several times. I'm going to the wilds this weekend. So
yeah,
I mean, I can't actually help it. It's old school, like, you know, the zoo is an old school thing that's going to, everybody likes it. I don't think anybody else is kind of asking questions about the zoo, because I get treated like the biggest fucking asshole. Like, I'm ruining everybody's time when I start, you know, talking about what's going on at the zoo while we're there.
That's what sucks. That's tough. Maybe that is what almost leads us in to the next part of the show. But like, I don't want to be a wet blanket. You know what I mean? That's the toughness. It's like, I don't want to just be like, the fucking zoo is an injustice. Okay? I understand that you got $4 tickets from work and you can get, or like, you can get in for $2 with a Coke can. But it's absolute fucking, it's an injustice, and it's arrogant, and it's just some, it's like, it's fucking, it reeks of imperialism to me.
Yeah. I think that people that, yeah, I don't know. I know that they have all kinds of talked about conservation and things like that, but I just don't see why it can't take place in their home state. You know, like, if you guys got to fuck with cheetahs, why don't you just set up a compound outside the cheetah's lair and kind of do whatever your fucking weird experiments are, your sexual stuff. I saw him. Did you see?
SeaWorld? I don't even
see that dude beating off a dolphin.
No.
Cranking it like a horn. It's like a big red-ass dog dick horn. It's like a Viking horn on a helmet. And that dude was just milking that fucking thing. Because they said that the dolphins
in
there
are jacking it off.
Don't say
milking it. He was fucking jacking that thing off.
Well, no, he was using the milking method. The thumb to forefinger method, where the other ones are all out. The milking style with two hands, where you like, you know, like if you were doing it on a teat. No, he definitely beat that thing off, though, and it made me think about it, because there was like 14, they got basically 14 males in there doing all these tricks, and, you know, they only do tricks because they can get mates for it, you know, like they're trying to show off, they're trying to flex so they can, you know, get some, and they have to do it with a fucking rubber glove by someone that went to be a marine biologist, some fucking rich kid that went to be a marine biologist.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you got me all depressed about fucking aquariums.
I didn't mean to. It's not bad, man. Though. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all meaningless, dude. I mean, there's nothing, you know, they're to be enjoyed while they're there. And, you know, the thoughts that we have about them aren't going to change what's going on. You know, that's why it's like, man,
I'm against them. I'm fucking really against aquariums now.
I think
like
for
now
me,
you turn me against, like, even the, like people are really get real amped in Ohio about that Kentucky aquarium. They're like, we got to get to Kentucky and go to this aquarium. It's one of the better ones.
It's awesome. You know? I went and I went and played with a baby penguin. They let you fucking, if you pay a whole bunch of money, you can pick up a baby penguin. It was so soft. It was the cutest damn thing I've ever seen.
You didn't earn that. Like, that's the fucking thing.
I worked.
If you want to play with a baby penguin, go to Alaska and run around with some penguins. That's perfectly fine. Don't bring them to you.
No, but we got to fish. Brian, we got a swimming pool out there for him. We drew we painted a mural on the bottom that has like seaweed and turtles and shit on it. It's a real famous artist that did it. We paid her a whole bunch of money.
That's, I mean, good that you've created some jobs, I guess. I mean, you know, I don't generally care about job creation or anything. I'm just, man, shit. Like, that's the SeaWorld thing. When I didn't watch the SeaWorld, Blackfish, or whatever that movie was. I didn't watch that because I can't. Like, that's just not a movie.
You don't
want
to watch animals get hurt? You don't want to watch animals get hurt?
Yeah. It's just not in my wheelhouse. And so, like, yeah, I would get sad. Like, the thing about me is that, like, I don't care that much about animals. But, like, I don't. Just don't be mean. Do no harm. How about that? Just don't harm the animals. Don't.
Yeah.
Unduly.
Let's stop. That's bad vibes. Like, that puts out bad vibes in the air.
And putting a whale in a pool is fucking unacceptable.
Yeah, I think it's good that there's been a backlash for that one. You know, for me, I think where I
always... But not really, though. SeaWorld's still allowed to do their thing. SeaWorld's still... Like, that's the thing. Like, that movie, that's one of those things where it's like, man, fucking, why didn't SeaWorld go out of business after that thing, you know?
Yeah,
after
but that's all because the uproar. You're impatient, though. Like, it's just not the way the world... It's a slower thing. The way that,
so you think SeaWorld's on its way out of business?
I don't see SeaWorld being around in 20 years.
25. I think SeaWorld's around when I'll bet you I'm dead. And like if I'm dead and there's still a SeaWorld, have my funeral at the SeaWorld.
Okay, I'm putting that down. I'm definitely going to hold you to that.
I'm confident. I'm so confident SeaWorld will be open that like that you'll be able to have my funeral at a SeaWorld. Okay? So that's where I want my funeral. Write that down in my will. If you're going to be... Like, I got one for you and one for my wife. I'll let her know when I go to bed tonight.
Okay. Hey. We both get a copy. Maybe we can get, like, a passcode where we both have to put a USB inside of a computer to unlock it. That'd
yeah.
be cool.
I'm going
to
go up there and be like, hey, wake up. Hey, my funeral's going to be at SeaWorld now. Write that down and then she's gonna reach into her nightstand and get the pad of paper and pen that she keeps in there with my decrees for my funeral, and she's gonna write that down in there, probably number 70 or something.
Okay, seems fair. Okay, that's fine. That's I totally agree. You guys have a good relationship for that.
Yeah, god damn. Yeah.
So let's get into this shit. Because I still have more to say about the zoo, but I think it actually relates into what our big topic this week is going to be. And we had someone reach out and ask a question, wanted some advice. We were very flattered, of course. And if you want to do that, streetfightradio@gmail.com, if you want to send an email anonymously, we won't share anything about you. We won't talk to the cops ever. Or Street Fight WCRS, you can message us on Facebook, whatever it is, but someone is looking for love and hears us talking about our wives and our relationships and wanted to know in the way that we do the anarchy parenting a lot. You've had Gwen on the show and then we go extensively, you know, in spanking and, you know, just dealing with our kids and what life is like. You know, now that we have them and all of that in the anarchy version, they want to know about anarchy dating and anarchy relationships regarding, you know, some of the politics stuff and then, you know, just how it works, which I thought was a good idea. Right. You into it?
Yeah, I actually love it. I actually here's the deal, though. I want to start the whole thing out by saying I have been with the same woman for almost 20 years. So as far
as... How old were you when you met her?
I was 19. Well, when I met her, I was like 15.
Oh, when you started dating her.
When I started dating her, I think I was turning 20. I was like 19 going into 20. Now I'm 37. So, yeah, it's been about 17 years. And, you know, I just know she has seen a million different versions of me and we're still together. So like, I always just chalk it up to like, yeah, we just work well together. You know, we're two people that work well together. I like her. she likes me, it all works out, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, that's how it is. I have only been with Erica for 6 years now. So I had a girlfriend. I had lived with a girl for about 5 years. Ended up leaving her in like a crisis type, you know, I need to change my life scenario. Dated around some. And, you know, was spending time hanging out with Brian at the time. That's when I started hanging out with Brian. Started hanging out with other people. And, you know, she was around. And we got to talking. And, yeah, that as far as how our relationship started to where it is now, what has made it work? And I think if you're trying to find people, you know, it's kind of, I know dating can be tough, but just being completely yourself and also saying whatever you're thinking from the get-go, like always just completely putting it out there because, you know, some people can't handle it and other people kind of understand where you're coming from and don't see it in a harsh way. And, you know, and my wife was someone that, you know, I spent so much time resenting my girlfriend because before, you know, other women that I mess around with because, you know, they just didn't like what I had to say. And she was able to listen and give me feedback and we were able to vibe. And, you know, that was only because I stopped like worrying about like her fucking feelings. Like you have to put yourself first. You have to be out for yourself. You want to be successful in a relationship and you have to have someone that, you know, likes you, you know, like that's what I think frustrates me so much is that Jim Belushi old school, you get married to someone you fucking hate. And it's like, that is such a miserable promise. It pisses me off that is the popular culture. Go turn on the radio. One of the reasons I do Street Fight is because regular fucking radio is filled with assholes that complain, you know, about women being in their fucking life. And, I think that should change because you can find someone that you love and care about and that feels the same way back and you can thrive together, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the strange thing with my wife is like the only other person that I deal with on that kind of level other than my daughter is Brett. And like, even he has seen like a few different versions of me. Like when I first started hanging out with him, I was a pretty gruff cable man type of guy. Yeah. And now I'm whatever I am now. And my wife has been through a lot of other things like that. So like, I don't feel like I went to college by myself. Like, I feel like she was with me. She went through a lot of the same things as me. I had conversations with her. It's like, you can't be friends or you can't be in a relationship with somebody without, you know, both of you. When I change, she changes. You know?
Yeah.
And like that's a fucking miracle. You know, that's like, to me, that's the thing that blows me away is that like, we're completely different people than we were, but we grew together. And like, it's because we listen to each other and we try to understand what the other person's doing and what our roles are in each other's lives, you know?
Yeah, and you got to, I mean, really what it is, you got to be rooting for each other. I think that's what it comes down to, is someone that you want to see do better, you know, and if I change for the better, I up the ante on my wife, and she responds not by trying to drag me down. You know, that was I spent a lot of time around fucking know-nothing, do-good, loser-ass people that, you know, when you were trying to make a change for the better, they always found a reason. You know, you're on a diet, they're like, come over, I made an extra cake for you. You know, like the kind of people that you were going to pursue something on your own. And they were like, I'd worry a lot before you ever do anything, you know, and they don't, you know, but my wife is someone that's like, I want my life to be better. I'm going to take advantage of what I have and I'm dedicated to that. And, you know, she tells me what she wants to do. I tell her what I want to do. And we're both individuals here. You know, we are a relationship, but it's a partnership and it's not a melding. Like, we don't have a shared Facebook or nothing. You know, it's not Brett and Erica Payne on Facebook. She don't even have my last name.
Neither does mine. I actually call my wife by her first name and her maiden name. So, like, I call my wife. I say her old last name all the time. Prefer it. I actually prefer.
That's who she was. You know, I mean, that's who you fell in love with. That's, like, who you met. That's who she was.
What's funny is for a lot of the first few years, because we were dating, I guess, until like 5 years ago, where it's like we've been married, I think, for 5 years now, maybe six or something, but we were together for longer before. I preferred girlfriend. I liked calling her my girlfriend. I felt like that was a good thing, and I liked it when she called me her boyfriend. It was youthful sounding.
Yeah, so, you're right. It was like that's someone on a pedestal. That's someone you put on a pedestal.
The funny thing about marriage to me was like it was a practical decision. I was about to lose my insurance, and my wife was like, "Hey, we just get married; it'll be cheaper, you know. It's gonna be everything will be all right." And like, I'm glad I'm with her, you know. Yeah. But like, as that's the only thing I can say is like, it's not really. I'm not saying I don't want you to test the other person that you're with. But like the thing is, if you can see yourself changing into a completely different person with that person, then they're probably the right person.
Yeah, and I think you know, for me, as far as what I did to make to what brought it into my life, and you know, I'm a total, you know, I don't know, synchronicity is something that I spent a lot of time pontificating about, and you know, when I started approaching comedy, when I started approaching people, you know, like Brian. And others that wanted to put something out there, you know, I found other people that were kind of more like me, you know, you dive into your passions as much as you can. And, you know, when as far as me meeting people, I've always been someone, you know, naturally that knows everybody, you know, I can say hi wherever I go to somebody, and I try to keep those relationships strong. But what you do, if you can't, just find free stuff that you want to do. You know, if you like doing bikes, go work for free down at, you know, the bike co-op. There's some honeys going to be down there, you know, and they're going to be like-minded, and you know that they're willing to do work. You know, they know mechanical shit, like, and that, you know, hot boys too. I mean, it's all happening wherever you're into. If you board games, if it's something you're passionate about, you really need to find out who you are and live the most comfortably out loud as your best person. This is me when I'm my best. And you need to, you know, if someone's going to try to prevent that, you know, get away from them. And you know, it's tough. I know, man. I've dealt with all kinds of women in my life and relationships, and had all kinds of different things. And I definitely wasn't ready for a lot of them too, man. Some of your Facebook dudes, Brian. Sorry to get on a tangent here, but some of those old ass men that still don't understand how a relationship works and just sit on Facebook at 37 years old. Sharing these memes about cutthroat bitches that ain't worth shit.
You know, here's the thing about that. I guess, when you're 37 years old, right? I would say that if I'm 37, then the guys on my Facebook are probably hovering somewhere between what would you say, like 34 and maybe 38, 39. Okay. Sure. Like that's the kind of range of ages in there, and seeing their understanding of how relationships work, you're just like, well, that's why you're fucking single. The problem the problem is the things that you say already point a ton of flaws out with the way that you think. Let me get you the latest kind of one of the more interesting ones.
Yeah, this isn't related, I don't think, to the listener. I just really thought about it because it made me laugh. But yeah, I mean, it is a part. I don't know. It's a part of it. You have to be ready to do that and just find a way to get yourself in enough scenarios where you can let it happen. I feel like, and the big thing is, let's dive into this. You got it.
Yeah, so here's a little series. We'll give you this is a series in exactly, I think, what a lot of dudes my age think this way. Okay, Brett, like that's just the way things are. Like maybe it's a middle of the country thing. A lot of these people are from my old hometown, like Groveport is where I grew up. And it's a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, and it really is kind of half rural. And half, so, and it's pretty low income, you know, it's a place where people
that want to be a part of the city, they're on the outskirts, and you can get a house for $80,000 or, you know, $110,000.
Right? So here's the question this guy poses to his Facebook friends. Which, by the way, as soon as you hear the question, you're like, ah, that's why he's single. But he says, ladies, question for you. Why do chicks like guys with no jobs and extensive criminal records? I understand a hard situation, but why not guy with a real job? And it's like, fuck, dude. You know, maybe the problem is that you think that all women look for a guy with a criminal record.
Yeah, you seem to think that's a part of being a woman.
I have a lot of women in my life, and I don't know if any of them date anybody with a criminal record.
Well, they never remarked on a preference. I know some people that have dated people with criminal records, but they never really remarked on a preference. It was just, I don't know. I didn't know if they were looking for that. Is that what people do on Tinder? Is it like, has this guy been behind bars at all? Well, they want
no
that
job too.
They want that was prison the other... sex, dude. They want to get dicked down by a dude that's been behind bars and that can hang out all day and just give good head.
Yeah. Well, and like, even just that idea of like that all women are like this monolith that
crazy
decisions.
Like, a lot of it's just like I said, that miserable attitude of, oh, shit, I got to get married to one of these beasts. Christ almighty, I'm going to be stuck with one of these till death do us part. Oh, this is a fucking nightmare. You know, it's like, and I got to deal with a woman is the attitude. And it's just, people are animals still, I guess. The thinking animal, but there are limits on that for some people. I guess they just will never learn. Because he's posting screaming Facebooks after like a girl dumps him 2 months.
Oh
later.
Well, that's a different actual story that you can follow on my Twitter page, Murder Brian.
Okay, Murder Brian. And remember, like the Disney theme, Disney Mickey Mouse Club song, MURDERBRYAN on Twitter.com.
Well, I can make that that's a whole different guy. So there's another saga that's happening. That's a whole other relationship. Then this guy is probably 35 years old, you know, and he's a Nazi. But he has a swastika tattooed on his chest. Nazi. He's that kind of Nazi.
Right. He's a bad decision maker.
And he spent some time in prison and posts a lot of white pride memes and shit like that. But, you know, my Facebook is so toxic that he's like one of the lesser toxic people.
Well, he's just a part of it. He's not too shocking.
Yeah. And he's somebody I grew up with. So it's one of those keep tabs on those people because I don't know.
You never know what kind of Facebook gold you can get out of them later in life.
So, what kind of Facebook gold you could get out of them, or even what kind of like, just remind me of what I'm running from. Always keep reminding me of what I'm running from, please. But
I'm sorry. Are we? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go. Actually.
Well, I was going to say the other thing that I wanted to add to this then is what we didn't hit with this relationship question, which I think is what I wanted to get into a little bit more, was how do you deal with the political side of relationships? And well, I know for you, I mean, we've talked about your history. I mean, I was fairly radical dude from the beginning. My wife knew what she was getting into. Like I said, I remember the first time she walked in on me doing cocaine. Because she was like first starting to hang around. She liked me. She liked the way I danced with her at the and so she hangs. She said the late night crew, you know, would do whatever there was to do. And one time it was that. And I'm like, I'm doing this coke. She says, what's going on? I'm like, just going to do this coke. And she's like nervous because, you know, TV makes you think it's something wild. And we do it, and I don't do it again for a very long time, and it's not like a problem. It doesn't happen, but, you know, instead of me hiding it that one time or, you know, making a big deal out of it, it was just like, sometimes if there's coke, man, I'm doing it. But then yeah. It was – the politics stuff was the same way. I mean, we were starting to unravel very quick once me and you started, you know, talking more and more. It was just like, you know, that it took off. And so I think that she – kind of trusted me and believes in my intelligence. Like I've displayed enough of my thoughts about things that she respects my opinion enough, you know?
Well, here's the thing with me is like, I always talk about how when it comes, even animal rights, really, you know, but well, global warming or environmental issues are a thing that I always talk about that like politically, I find it very hard for me to get interested in them. And I, look, you can send me all the articles in the world and tell me how I'm going to die underwater. I'm going to get eaten by a fucking polar bear while I'm living underwater. But I can't get up for it. You know, I feel like we can't beat it. It feels impossible to, it feels impossible to stop people from polluting at this point.
Right.
But when I hear somebody else talking about it that I respect, I'm like, well, my opinion is like roughly what that person said.
Yeah, they kind of convinced me. I have an open mind. I didn't really have an opinion. I was willing to be convinced, and this guy over here kind of put it together pretty easily. So I stand with them.
Yeah, and I think my wife looks at politics kind of in that way, and she does argue with me and stuff too. But like, she respects that I put the time into reading about the stuff, and she doesn't necessarily care. That's the thing. It's like some people don't care about politics, and it's refreshing to be around those people sometimes.
That's really why I like my wife too. I remember one time she didn't know the name. She didn't know who Ben Affleck was. She didn't know who, like, she doesn't know who any celebrities are. And it like made me fall in love with her. Like, that's what really sealed the deal, when she didn't know anything about pop culture. She was so disconnected from it. But at the same time, like, she's commie as hell. And she's like real crazy about, like, she's pretty capital punishment when it comes to people that are fucking around. And not in doing crimes, but in people that are being bigots and stuff. Like, she would, the KKK, she would probably drive him over with a tank. You know, like, where but she's like, I want everybody, she's with me, like, when I complain about the banks and stuff. But at the same time, I also temper it a lot, and you can't be hardcore. And this is like when it comes to the zoo thing, you can hold your opinions, and you can know a truth or a way to look at reality that is, you know, upsetting or needs to be changed or is injustice. But I don't think you necessarily have to panic about it, because we're not all singularly involved for it. You know what I mean? I don't think that one person can expect that, you know, boycotting the zoo or not going to a birthday party to the zoo one time in their life is going to change the world on zoos. You know what I mean? But I think that if you have, at least in your mind, you know, would like to see or support it, or, you know, in some way, or efforts for it, you know, I mean, the patronage, of course, is what makes it money. But it's not worth me. I'm not going to have a meltdown at the fucking zoo on the middle of a gigantic planet in front of a sun that's going to burn out, that'll all melt away one day. Like, I'm not freaking out on, I'm not going to ruin this family reunion because it's at the zoo, you know. And that's just life. And that's when you're meeting people. They don't have to be red communists, you know, when you meet them. You can turn them, you know, like you people can grow and change and learn shit. And there's open-minded, and you should be open-minded to other people too. Like, I respect the hell out of my wife. A lot of times would be like, you need to stop pitying the fuck out of women, because you make us seem so frail. And like, I'm all the time that I'm just, I it's so hard for me to get up in the morning because I'm getting kicked down. It's like, I'm succeeding just fine by myself, and I don't need you to come over here and tell. So like, she gets on my ass for that stuff. And you know, we talk a lot about racial shit together, because, you know, she grew up in a diverse environment as well as a kid, from, you know, mixed income neighborhood that was way more diverse. So she has a lot to teach me, and I respect her point of view on her life. So I don't know. You just got to balance it. Like, although here's a fucking conundrum. Let's put this is like the new mining cart in the philosophy book at college, conundrum here. So my wife only likes to drink really sparkling water. That's her fucking jam. It's her favorite thing in the world. And she's always like, I'll just get a SodaStream. Cause I complain about I hate the bottles. I hate seeing the bottles. I send her, you know, I let her know how many fish die with like a belly full of bottles and shit. I never scolded her or shamed her for it, you know, but she, you know, over a couple of years has found ways to supplement it and, you know, curb it down to some things that isn't like piles of trash being thrown out. You know, just because it's recycling doesn't mean it's like good. it still has to be put somewhere on the earth.
Why? I mean, I really wish they would make a soda stream.
There gots to be, man. Can we get a motherfucking Kickstarter for a BDS sparkling water? If you are not paying attention, all of us fucking health freaks out here are kicking Pepsi and soda and all that shit and juice. We just want, we love the fucking carbonation. We don't even give a shit about the sugar no more. Give us that carbs. We want new, we don't want carbs in bread. We want carbs in our water. Carbonation.
Yeah, that, those bubbles rule.
Fuck up, man. I mean, it's so pretty. Yeah. It's like a premium beverage. And it's just regular ass, zero calorie, nothing else in it but some minerals, water.
Yeah, and like the all that's the same thing with Sabra hummus. My wife used to buy that all the time, and then when I found out, like, oh no, I can't be doing that. That's BDS. And then I was like, hey, no more of that Sabra hummus. And my wife's just like, you know, my daughter's like, will you buy this? And my wife will say, nah, Dad doesn't want us to get it. And that's basically, that's how she kind of feels about it. She's just like, hey, if he doesn't want us to get it, then it probably means it's bad. You know, he hates bad stuff. You know.
Yeah, and it isn't going to hurt. I mean, it's, for me, it isn't going to hurt them to know. And you can always make alternative decisions. My wife switched to Lyft from Uber because at least on Lyft, you can give extra money to the drivers. You know, and she's doing it through a corporate account, so they're comping everything. She's making sure everybody out there driving is getting extra money, you know, via Lyft versus Uber. I mean, not that it matters. It's just modern. You know, it's just like, you know, you have to fight your battles, but you have to be happy. And, you know, we have a world here that, thank God, isn't in constant terror or war. And, in, you know, we need to discuss changing it with people, but you don't want to scare people away. You know, you don't want it to, we don't want to be fighting and having an actual fucking civil war. If we have to do that, we'll go there. But when it comes to your dating, you don't want it to maybe degrade into fighting and stuff, unless they're like Republicans or shit, or anybody that says some wild shit. And, you know, you can go after people, and if they can't deal with it, then, you know, on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
but it's just
like
balance. I mean, just be nice about it. Like, nobody has to fall in line. People have a whole life. Our whole lives are a very long period of time, and there's different chapters in them, and the periods will be very different. It's so wild. I have, you know, being at this advanced age of over 30 now, thinking of all the times that I was a very different person, even with 6 years with my wife, when I was, you know, thinking very differently or was motivated by different things. It's just, you know, as long as you're trying to do your best and focusing on that and finding someone that wants to do that alongside of you, I mean, you can't lose when it comes to relationship wise, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually told my wife we were going to talk about it tonight, and she just said, like, you know, the real thing, and I want to give her her input. She's like, the real thing that makes our relationship work and that is really good about you is that, yes, you're a dick, but you're not a dick to me.
Yeah, you're like, she's the only person in this world you like that you can tolerate.
Yeah, and that's true, man. Like, everything that every person in this world does to me feels like an extra weight on my back, except for my wife, who is actually, she's standing behind me pulling weights off my back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And that's what I try to do for her. We're a team, man. I'm a team type of player. It's weird. It's weird that I watch wrestling, but I think, you know, maybe I'm a tag team guy. Maybe it was tag teams that got me, but I'm just a team dude, man. I like team sports.
No, well, I can't do this shit on my own. I mean, that's just how I am. Like, I need a community of people to put my arms around to keep my spirits lifted and shit. Like, I'm not an island at all. So yeah, I mean, I rely on her, and it is weird. Like, when we first met, I actually worked and she stayed at home and took care of the laundry and all of the house chores and the food and everything and bills. And then after we had Charlotte, and she had better job prospects. So we moved together. That was a lot of things that changed between us. You know, that was different to explore a new city and then only be stuck with her, you know, like with no other friends, just me and her in Dallas, Texas, figuring out shit.
That's cool though. That helps, you know.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I mean that builds it strengthens the bond.
Yeah. And just even like not yeah. I'm so fucking glad though, really, that I'm not I'm glad that I'm happily in a relationship and not one of these fucking, like I said, 38-year-old fucking dudes whining about it on Facebook. That's wild to me, man. And like just getting it so fucking wildly wrong.
Yeah.
Really the thing.
It's always that. They have no actual grasp on the world. And then they go to make this proclamation.
One of the other really great parts about that guy's thing was that all the responses were dudes to it, and they were all explaining how women think. Which we're all, you know, obviously nobody, you can't just say, like, this is how women think, but all the responses are, one of them is like, you know, the guys with the criminal record or without a job can give their time to a woman. Or without a job and with a criminal record, have time to give to the woman. Maybe not the material stuff, but the time. And then this older guy just pops in and he's like, women like a guy to depend on them. That's why they pick losers. And it's like, oh, this guy probably has like, this guy has to live alone, right?
Yeah, this dude's been cheating. This dude has had a slew of women that have ran from his miserable ass.
I know.
I'm better than everybody else, God damn it. If you disagree, you hit the door. You hit the bricks.
Yeah. What a fucking really great, like, I just watching it. And like, this is the two characteristics of the dudes that I grew up with and hung out with on my Facebook are either like really mad and getting divorced, haven't been married yet, or just got out of jail. That is all of them on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is just the bad marriage crew. There's nothing we can do about bad relationship boys, I guess. They're just broken, wounded people, man. I don't know. That's just like frightening to think they're out in the world, out there trying to date somebody, trying to hook up. Anyone want to get serious about a fucking relationship anymore?
Yeah, they just want to marry somebody that has no kind of nothing in common with them because they think they're such a piece of shit themselves.
They want someone. Yeah, that's true. You're right. They're miserable. No one can fucking like them. Yeah, they want someone that'll make Skyline chili dip for the game and then shut up and shut her trap.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That is make me that shitty Skyline chili. Did you before we finish this week, I wanted to talk about just a tiny bit about this. But did you happen to see I know you didn't. I don't know why I'm asking you. The Ghostbusters guy, the guy that's mad about that Ghostbusters movie that did like an 8-minute video about it.
No, is he is he verified on Twitter?
He's not verified on Twitter. He's just one of these guys that writes for one of these movie sites. Cinema, like badass cinema or some shit like that. And I just found it really fucking, he's very mad about the Ghostbusters movie. And
what's he mad about? What's his focus?
I can't really tell. He kind of is saying that it doesn't tie back to the other Ghostbusters movies, which means that they shouldn't call it Ghostbusters. He's mainly just mad because they called the movie Ghostbusters. But, like, I submit to you, what if they made this movie and didn't call it Ghostbusters, but they did all the same stuff? People would be like, this is just a Ghostbusters ripoff.
What the fuck is this? Like, it was just, they just bleeped it out or they never said it, they silenced the words, but same logos and everything?
Yeah. Just named it something Ghostbusters.
No, Ghost. What do you mean? These are women. How could this be Ghostbusters? No. These are women, man. Come on.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, I always am like, is it really misogynist? You know what I mean? Guy that's like, I don't want women Ghostbusters, and is trying to think of every reason why women Ghostbusters is bad, except for women. except for the fact that they're women. So no, that's exactly what it is. Argument.
I think the initial rage is mad at women. Think that women can't be funny. Women can't bring the kind of gravitas and, you know, necessary acting like Dan Aykroyd does. They can't do the job that Bill Murray can do. And so you're right. I think that maybe he's not thinking that complete thought in his mind, but I think that's where it's coming from. Like, girls can't do this, you know? And so it does come down. What is every possible? Oh, simply look at the canon of Ghostbusters. You'll see that real Ghostbusters, the cartoon, clearly takes off after Ghostbusters, you know, they get caught up in all of that, man. And it's just like all of just a reason to get mad at women.
Right. Yeah. So they don't want to, because they do get a terrible, the nerd guys, the movie nerd type that are into like a Ghostbusters, right? They get a rap for being deeply sexist. Yeah. And they do. I mean, I know that they hate, I'm not a part of their community. I'm from just on the outside and, you know, maybe I'm being prejudiced. But the image that I have in my head of those people is that they hate women.
Well, they're pretty. Yeah, they're pretty avid about like really skewering the shit out of female targets. They're really good. They're really big on finding a lot of bloviated reasons to create a lot of chaos online. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe on the other side, I know that there are a lot of dysfunctional people in this world. And like the TV was like a better place to be, or is like has more resonance with your life. And a lot of people that do live in that nostalgia zone, and we have, you know, a lot of our mouth breathing public out here that gets fired up and, you know, grasping onto Ninja Turtles and grasping onto these things, is a, you know, it's a comforting thing. It's people want totems, you know, of those things because it reminds them of, you know, something that isn't real life. That's, you know, usually pretty oppressive. And a lot of fucking work. And so it means a lot to them, you know, and now it's, I don't know. I guess for me, it's like the old ones will always be there is what I've always latched onto is just, you know, you can still watch your old shit, man. Check this one out or don't, up to you. But you don't have to spend any time explaining. People are going to decide when they watch it. Like people do a pretty damn good job of letting movies flop or succeed when it comes to down to ticket buying time.
Well, here's another kind of strange thing about it is that like you might not even know this, Brett, because you don't, you know, you don't keep track of these things.
No, it's about movies. I know nothing.
Yeah. I mean, the movie's not even out and this guy has just seen a trailer.
Right, which people think they know what the movie is.
2 minutes. 2 fucking minutes of the movie and he's furious about it.
No context. Zero context. Has no idea what's driving the story, how these people got in these situations. Takes a moment to see, you know, believes that they put the best stuff in trailers. I think that's what a lot of dumb shits too, man. When I think about these Rotten Tomato worshiping moviegoers, they're just like, oh, they put the best shit in the trailers. Like, no, they don't. I guess
that's
that's
like believing wrestling's real. That's the same kind of suspension of disbelief they have. Like, and because like the content mills are always like, well, now that the trailers come out, we write a thing about the trailer and then we write a thing about the movie. Like,
yeah,
so
we decide now what the theme of our follow-up's going to be.
Yeah. So you have to form an opinion on a trailer, which is fine, I guess, you know, if people are making money talking about trailers on like actually really talking about commercials, then that's perfect. Whatever. Just do what you got to do. But just don't form like your entire judgment of the movie on the trailer. He's like, this is a remake. They don't harken back to any of the iconic characters. First of all, there's only fucking 2 Ghostbusters movies. It's barely a fucking franchise. And one of them sucks. The second one notoriously sucks. So it's like, what the fuck are we even like worried about? Hopefully they improve the fucking thing. You know, I think the first one sucks. Really? I hope maybe they can improve this thing. You don't even fucking know. You've only seen 2 minutes of it.
Yeah, I always, for me, like, Ghostbusters was a cartoon, when I Saturday morning cartoon, and I had a bunch of toys, and that's what it is to me. And the more I learn to stop putting any of my time or priority or mental areas into investing into kids' franchises that are made to sell Happy Meals and shoelaces. I mean, Ghostbusters, they're not bringing this back around because they want to give it the serious take it deserves. They're not going to talk about, like, 21st century dealing with ghosts. It's going to be a goofy-ass movie to sell toys, or to be a comedy. It's a fucking, you know, I just don't, you know, stop getting tied up in those franchises, man. Stop letting, enjoy them all you want, but don't let them direct your life, man. As soon as you start getting, like, upset about a movie being made, it's just like, learn a guitar. Go pick up that mandolin or something. Do something else besides be a fucking complaining-ass YouTube nerd.
Yeah. Or fucking, when you make your video, why don't you tell me what your idea for Ghostbusters is, motherfucker? I'll bet it sucks. Your idea for Ghostbusters sucks, too, you know? That would be fucking awesome if people... I guess people do fan fiction, right?
Oh, yeah. People have done... Definitely people have all kinds of stuff written down. And
written a Ghostbuster. He's mad because it's not Ghostbusters 3, too. He was really pumped about Ghostbusters 3. But it's like, Egon's dead, my dude. Like, yeah. He's not coming back. Can't be a fucking ghost, you know? Ghostbusters 3 is not happening.
This can be totally fucking fun. Like, the female ghost, nothing, there's no reason to be afraid of this. This is a bunch of funny women that are going to make a goofy-ass movie about busting fucking ghosts. That's, I mean, end of story. That's the last I need to hear. It's like, all right, I mean, I'm not going to invest too much time on what this means for the legacy of Ghostbusters. I don't know if it had one. I don't think it goes up on the mantle. I don't think there's a legacy. I don't think we need to put the Ghostbusters jersey in Madison Square Garden or anything.
I mean, and truthfully, women are allowed. I mean, that's a good thing. If you don't, maybe you don't have a daughter.
Yeah,
but like,
I mean, that helps.
Yeah, that's the thing for me, is having a daughter and just being like, man, I want my kid to see women busting ghosts. You know, I'd rather her see. I mean, I don't need to see another man busting a ghost. I've seen it. You know, that doesn't hurt.
And they're going to do it. They're going to do it anyways. I mean, at this point, it's just like, fuck it, man. Just don't watch this one. Boycott this one and go for the one that they made for you. You know, the other one you want.
Yeah.
The one that where they have to put their dicks inside of the backpacks. The backpacks actually shoot semen to tame the ghosts. Because only men can do it. Only men can do it.
Yeah. You fucking stick your testes in a little thing to unlock it. You just put
your balls into.
God, we are really just so obsessed with gender.
It is.
And like,
it's coming out, man. It's just like we opened up Pandora's box.
There's like a fucking million movies with dudes as the head guy. You know what I mean? As the ass kicker. You can always fucking watch Rambo again. I wish they'd make a Rambo with a woman.
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
That would fucking make people so mad. That's like when that Roadhouse comes out with Ronda Rousey.
That's happening?
In the Patrick Swayze role. Yeah, she's in a Roadhouse remake.
That is
fucking
awesome. That is a good idea.
Yeah, that's going to fire some fucking dudes up.
One of
I
my
think.
Favorite. I love Next Karate Kid when Hilary Swank did it. She was good as hell.
I was off board before Karate Kid 3, so.
I went all the way with Daniel-san. That was probably one of the only ones, and that's just because that had to do with martial arts. And that's been my thing since I was watching Ninja Turtles as a kid.
Fucking crazy. It's crazy that you were really into martial arts and I wasn't. And then when I got older, I was like, I kind of like martial arts. And you were like, a lot of those karate academies are BS.
Well, yes, there's a lot of
frauds.
And
then it all started.
There's a lot of, Foot Fist Way, man. That was one of the best skewerings of those places. Cause I seen plenty of that.
It's just a carnival. When you pointed out to me that a lot of these these karate places and strip malls are just like just a carny in there fucking handing out belts to kids.
Yeah, you pay money. You got to pay monthly to take the classes, and you got to pay to take belts too. They definitely make you pay to take some of those tests.
Oh shit! Do you have to pay? It's for, like, you probably got to pay for the fucking belt too. Like, yeah, this belt ain't free. That's gonna be $6.
Karate supply store is a fun fucking place to go. If you're in a small town and there isn't a lot of attractions, at least give the karate supply store a shot.
What is that? What do they sell? Oh, I guess they sell kendo sticks,
kick pads,
shit, right?
Yeah, kendos, nunchucks, swords, kick pads, size. All the ninja stuff, they have, like the grips, the iron claws that you put on the inside of your palm so you can scale like trees and shit. They have shurikens. They got the steel balls, that you fucking sling at people at a million miles an hour. Everything you want, dude. It's the heads right there. All your combat shit is happening at the martial arts supply center.
Is that here? Is there one in Columbus?
Oh yeah. There's one on 161. There's a pretty big one.
Okay. Decent there's time. Also, because I know that there's a magic supply store that I'm always like, why don't I go to the magic supply store? At least fucking learn all the tricks, you know?
Yeah, that is the nice thing about magic is, like, all you have to do is pay for it. Like, the magicians will tell you how to do the trick if you'll pay for it.
Magic is another fucking thing, you know? Wrestling at least still keeps, they used to try to keep people out for a while. Magic was always just like, well, just pay me some money and I'll teach you how to do the goddamn trick. You know, come to the magic store, I'll sell you a fucking nickel with a hole in it or whatever.
Yeah, and show you the best way to palm it. I'll show you how to make this magic cane dance around in the middle of the grocery store.
That's fucked. Like, people really hate magic now, you know?
Yeah, they're unfair about it. They treat it like mimery.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. I'll be completely fucking upfront with you.
Dude,
but
I
then,
love,
like,
Max and Irma's, dude, when the magician comes around to the table, makes everybody look stupid. If it's a good one, I love them. I enjoy it. I'm a big fan of performances anywhere. I like
we went
that
to
kind
a talent
of,
show.
About
and
to
a
eat
kid
a rodeo
magic
steak. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I want
to
see some magic.
We went to a talent show and a kid did a fucking magic trick, and like, it did kind of blow me away, actually. Maybe I do like magic, but it's got just such a bad rap that it's like, who wants to be seen seeing magic, like enjoying magic, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. We have to give it a shot. I mean, we have to start a new series about trying out new things like magic shows. Big,
why don't you
big-time
learn magic
shows?
Why don't
we've already
you
talked
learn
about
magic?
This. We've already talked about this. I hung up my white gloves. Okay.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. I thought you
maybe
were an entertainer.
We start doing live stuff. Maybe I'll start doing some card flourishes for everybody or something. I'll do like a
flourishes
card flourish.
Ew. Ew. What is flourish? Why is a card flourish?
That's like tricks, man. That's how you take the cards and like manipulate them in your hands, like all, and like make, you know, fans and throw them in the air and catch them and they don't fall apart and shit. And you can like flick them and bend them in half and make spin in the air and fly and shit.
Is a fucking is flourish like the industry term?
Yeah, it's flourishing, man.
Are you
You're
an insider?
You got to wear a silk vest to do the shit, man. You got to at least have a scarf on or something to be out there. You know, I mean, you got to jazz it up a little bit. You're just basically making, you know, you're just doing a bunch of simple tricks with cards.
Us non-magicians thought those were all just card tricks. That we didn't know that there was a category of flourishes, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of peacocks in the magic world when it comes to cards. It's a, you know, there's up close people. There's the mentalists. There's a whole bunch in the magic society. Well, there's no magic societies that you can join. That'd be a good club to join.
There's a fucking magic.
You're looking for a relationship.
There's a goddamn magic theater in Columbus where you can fucking go see open mic magic. They bring in like nationally renowned magicians. It's right on High Street. I've always thought about fucking going, but it's like, who am I going to get to go to a magic show with me? Who
you
wants to
friends
go fucking see indie magic? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta find, I don't know, man. You gotta hang out with some 20-year-olds or something that are enthusiastic about life and will do whatever.
Indie magic.
Yeah. I mean, small scale, man. Guys just still cutting their teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we should. I mean, that's a fucking prime thing to do. See open mic magic, I think. I can see myself getting involved in that.
The other thing I wanted to say is what we'll do. I think this is a good idea. So if we get to $100 on the Patreon, so I mentioned at the beginning of the show, $50 a month, I'm going to start doing these extra interview shows once a month. So at $100, I just added the goal, and we'll get our wives on the show, I think.
Yeah. My wife has said she'll do it. My wife said she'll do it if you guys give us money. Like, yeah, man, sure. If there's money coming in, I'll do a radio show. You can ask them questions, I guess.
Yeah,
them what you would want to know. We'll find out what you want to know before we get them on there, too. Especially if you're donating.
Yeah, Betsy is the one that asked a few months ago. And my wife was nervous at first, but she said if she knew what we were going to talk about in some way. So if y'all have questions, I think that would be a good thing to submit. But we're not going to worry about any of that until we get the fucking cheddar cheese and the bread to stack it up on, grill it all nice, and then spend it on some live shows coming to your area. And patreon.com, patreon.com/Street Fight Radio is the place to do that. You donate $1 a month. I thought it was a minimum of $5 before, but $1 a month changes everything for Street Fight. So for those loyal listeners that have been around forever, new people that love what we do and want to say thank you, give us one. I mean, that's like 12 cents, $12.50 an episode, 12 and a half cents an episode. That's all you have to give. And it doesn't seem like much, but $1 a month, you know, from 1,000 people makes a difference in what we can do and where we can get to. There's a lot of talk about going out to California at some point and our people there. You know, we'd love to make appearances in some of the bigger cities and, you know, we're just getting started now. But those of you that do donate on Patreon, you will get a free copy of the video of our live show. So, like I've said before, we keep this shit ethical. We want what we do to get to you absolutely free. And after we do this live show in Columbus, Ohio, Cafe Kerouac, June 10th, we start talking at 7 p.m. The music starts at 7 p.m., so get there early. They got a bar. They got coffee. They got wine. They got hard spirits. It's a totally cool joint. Come check us out. It's going to be $5 or $6.66 if you pay with a card. Only 40 seats. You can pre-order by going to streetfightradio.com/live. But if you do that, we're going to be recording it and offering that to people to purchase for $1, but the recording will be absolutely free. And then for those of you donating each month, you're going to get that absolutely free as well. And I even have a few rewards. I have some old books sitting around the house that I don't need anything to do. So if you go on there and make a commitment of just $5 a month, I'll send you an old book, nothing stupid or that it's a waste of your time. It'll be interesting, and that's just one of the rewards, and I'll keep adding them. I have some funny stuff and some T-shirts that I could possibly put on there, so there's more to come with that as we grow bigger and bigger. But for right now, just get us to that $100 level so you can hear Erica and Katie give you the truth about how they see things. We will be back, as always, every single Sunday. We're live on WCRS in Columbus, Ohio at 10 p.m. So we got in safe harbor. We're docked up on the side of the bay right there. We're salty as hell. We're drinking and smoking. It's 10 p.m. Sunday night. For those of you that are saying fuck you to work or staying up late, we'll be there live on your radio dial there in the 614 Columbus, Ohio. The other way to get to us, how most people get us, by subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Those are the best places to find what we do. Just look for Street Fight Radio. You'll find us. Hit subscribe 2 times a week. Every single Sunday, every single Thursday, you're going to get a show. So that means going into Monday, you got a brand new Street Fight to listen on your way to work. If you're in transit, if you ride your bike, if you're driving, no matter what it is. Thursday night, to get you into that Friday mood and ready to go, we're right here partying, hanging out, building the case for insurrection, and laying the groundwork for a horizontally organized empire that brings partying to everyone around the globe. And that's happening 2 times a week. You can find what we do on Twitter. The handle is @StreetFightWCRS. You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/StreetFightWCRS. And let me give a shout out, Patrick. That's my main man right now. Patrick likes all of our shit. I don't even think he reads any of it. No, I don't think he reads all of it. He adds a lot of good comments, but he takes the time to engage in what we do. There's all these other pages on Facebook that are making, you know, making it into your feed that have a lot of likes, have a lot of comments. Patrick's going out of his way to spend his time on the Facebook feed to add to the conversation and just to simply like things, because that gets us in front of people, and that means I don't have to pay Facebook. See, we don't want to fucking take money from you and then give it to Facebook to spread the word about us. We need your help, and we're going to be DIY about this shit. And you know, that's why we're not using Eventbrite for our tickets. We do things differently. That's why you get no fucking advertisements. That's why no one here is telling you that you're an idiot for your shaving regimen. We're not in that fight. We're not fucking worried about that. We're not going to tell you where to get your clothes from, or that you should buy them from a box that comes in the mail, or that all your snacks should. That's just not what we're about here. We're ready to step this up and are so appreciative of all of you that are here. On Instagram, it's at Street Fight Radio. I've been sharing a lot more on there. I'm on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. The name is the same. It's at Brett Payne, B-R-E-T-T-P-A-I-N. Brian, you can find on Twitter. That's his most prolific work, at Murder Brian, M-U-R-D-E-R-B-R-Y-A-N. Or give him the ad over there on Facebook. Like you said, it's a fucking cesspool anyways. You might be his rainbow of light that comes and gives a little bit of brightness in his day. Man. We will be back, like, as always. Peace!
It's all started, you know? But, I'ma just break this shit down for you real quick. Yeah. Check. Yo. I'm just spitting, living, revealing what I do. Roll with the family. Every time I step up to venues, I gotta pursue. Have deadlines to meet and gotta finish them before the late night creeps. The words I speak over beats never sleep. Nah. Oh, never egotistical, never cliche or stereotypical. From the heart, yeah. Whether it's concept or rhyme, I rub it in, leave you feeling warm all at the same time. Mash it out on your broads, but this ain't Escobar. It's G, baby. Gabling, gablish, or gab nasty. Whatever cheesy alias you wanna call me, you get the point, get the picture, read my lips. Catch my drift, your girl was born with a gift. But I'm humble as well, only 5 feet tall, but rising high as hell. With the acrylic nails and a white blouse to match, reeking like a weed stash. Who would've knew, this is what I do. Uplift your body and spit rhythm.
That's what beat, she like said you can
hear me. Soothe your mind every time you hear me rhyme. From line to line, recognize I'm not trying to be the lyrical champion. Just your ordinary MC, okay. Let you know music is what I do and breathe. Anybody but the sneeze, foot to the teeth. Cause these lyrics are my love and I don't take them lightly. So who's rapping now? Cause nowadays that's a new style. But listen to the rappers that influencing these juveniles. How could this happen to something so true? But it's been said, so the ongoing saga continues. Let me breathe you a little piece of myself. I'm a nicotine fiend with knees. Don't like my weed, we'll see. Rather compromise and disagree. Cause I understand the position of your 2 feet. Forget making enemies, but that's just me. Some cats are difficult. They should leave your senses and enhance your temple. But I'm able to blow your ass back. Cause I'm not trying to be skimping in these raps. Perhaps you should take a second while the record's spinning. What is it that you're saying? Are your beats just banging? Well, whatever it is, I give you the biz. Influence these kids to get your hands up. Do some real hip hop shit. So I'm up, uplift your body and spirit. Bump the beats loud so you can hear it. Soothe your mind every time you hear me rhyme. From line to line, recognize I'm not trying to be the lyrical champion. Just your ordinary MC. Let you know music is what I do and breathe. Anybody but the sneeze, foot to the teeth. Cause these lyrics are my love and I don't take them lightly.
Climbing a rope, yup, grinding on the daily with these timeless quotes. I have a lot of pain, but I haven't spoke. A lot of shit's changed since I left my home. These familiar streets I've outgrown, and when I think about it, it switches my tone. But I'm an organized threat, premeditate your death, and leave you bleeding where you slept. And if you don't get it now, listen closely when a gun cocks back goes blow. Okay, maybe too much. I'm not that aggressive or really that tough. But if you want a relation, this is my generation. And yo, I'm here to lead it. Bless the golden era, I respect it. But it's time for a new creation. For this hip-hop nation is really all I'm saying. I guess the throne's for the taking.